This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We have our next guest in the studio again, David. Who have we got?
In the studio, can you believe it? We're back to normal, and it's so nice to be back to normal. We have in the studio Sue Giles, who is co-CEO of Polyglot Theatre. Hello.
Hello.
And welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. In the studio.
In the studio.
With a
live.
Spa. There's a massage table.
There's a bar over there. Exactly. Cocktails we prepared.
Yeah. Now, we always like to start off with a bit of a background on who you are before we talk about the theatre company and then, of course, the show that you're here to promote. So tell us, who are you? What's your story?
What's my personal story?
Oh, no, you as an artist.
As an artist.
Yeah.
I'm the artistic director of Polyglot.
Yep.
And have been for 20 years.
Whoa.
I know, right? Not a dull moment in all of that. And I've always worked in theatre and always worked with children's theatre and children's experiences. And Polyglot's a company that makes participation work. That's our lens. Our artistic lens is participation, which kind of leads us into extraordinary territory, really.
Yeah.
Our vision's about children's power and having children have the capacity to be in control of the experiences that they enjoy.
Right.
I've worked, I used to be an actor, I used to write plays, I used to be a director, but now all of those things have kind of come back into more like kind of interactive installation work almost, so really seriously design influenced,
yeah.
I suppose.
And what was the journey like realizing that this is where you wanted to end up, and especially considering that you've been doing it for such a long time now? So was it just a natural progression of being the artistic director and co-CEO?
Yeah, well, the company's gone through several changes in its life. It was actually formed in 1978, so it's been around for a while. But I think there's an incredible privilege to be in a position for long enough where you can really explore a trajectory. You can really kind of look at the concept that you're delving into and just pull it apart and make it really stretch.
Yep.
So I think all of my art has changed every project we do and every bunch of kids that we get in contact with and every time we encounter public space and every time we go into a specialist education school and work with children with disability, and every new experience adds to that artistic language.
And how many performances do you do a year, in a normal year?
In a normal year, we used to have at least 7 works on the road. We did a lot of international touring.
Okay.
That went. And we'll not be back for some time. we did, major festivals, major arts venues, but also then did a lot of community work as well, worked on football fields with sports clubs. We worked... We kind of pride ourselves on having a very eclectic mix of work.
Yeah.
So it's really about audience reach and engaging children and families.
And here you are at the Arts Centre. They've only just opened their doors again.
We're all overexcited.
Yeah. I can imagine the rules and regulations must be full on there right this very moment, being a government building as well. So the show is called Boats.
Yes.
Oh, I wonder what it's about.
Well, it is something. It's either a blessing or a failure, but we kind of call shows what they are. So there's not much poetry in the title, but you get what you pay for, although
it's
free.
There's no need to try to interpret what it's all about or anything.
That's right. I wonder what this is. Oh, it must be about boats. No, it is. It's boats. But with those simple titles and that sort of simple interaction, there's actually an enormous amount of stuff to explore. We've got a very interesting relationship with boats and travel and refugeeism and minorities and immigration. And that all came into the forming of this work when we first developed it, which was a couple of years ago. We worked with a school where children were mostly newly arrived or refugee families.
Oh, okay.
And so their relationship with boats was very much part of the development of the work.
Yep.
which was very, very different to, you know, going for a punt on the River Yarra.
Yeah. And I'm assuming working with children, that is obviously the aim, is to try and simplify it into, you know, a term or a word that's easily identifiable.
Well, this is a weird thing with children's theatre, though, because the buyer is not the child.
Okay,
the parent. So, you know, we really do try to honour the child's understanding of the work within that transaction. But the buyer is not even our audience, because this is a free show. We try to do a lot of our work for free, because that's about like maximum accessibility and affordability across and in public space. Mm. So having partners like the Arts Centre Melbourne, who really understand the power of community in a building and in a kind of a concept of a theatre space, and the power that you know, your everyday person who's walking past can engage if they want to, is just brilliant. That's like an open door to creativity.
Yeah, and it's for 3 to 10 year olds. You know, like a 3-year-old, their brain capacity isn't huge, but their understanding, or they latch onto something, don't they?
I think their brain capacity is immense, because they're actually thinking in a way that doubles what we usually do. Adults are very prone to reality, into what's possible. A 3-year-old will think of what's impossible. There's that, you know, famous quote from Lewis Carroll where you think of 6 impossible things before breakfast. Adults have forgotten how to do that.
Oh.
So the child, the 3-year-old, will actually find endless entertainment, endless adventure and endless scope for imagination in something as simple as getting in a boat that they have to hold up by their own hands and going on an adventure through an urban landscape that suddenly gets transformed into an ocean where there's sharks, there might be seagulls, there might be islands to explore. They can really map out that inside their heads.
Sure.
That's the capacity that's really awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, like, what happens, you know, like, do the mums and dads go with the kids, or are the kids doing it by themselves?
No, look, sometimes they do. Sometimes it's like an adult and a toddler, because the little ones do need help holding the boats up.
That's true.
Sometimes we've had just adults. We sometimes have little boats full of teenagers. They love going on a journey together. But often it's just kids on their own. And in a way, that's our aim as a company, is to provide the children with secret play space, so that they're not always overwatched, then that they can go on a secret adventure that maybe no one will ever know about.
Mm.
And that enabling that child's power over their own direction and their choice in what they choose to engage with at that point is really important.
Oh, and especially at 7 or 8 year old, you know, like they conquer, they know everything. There's nothing you can tell them.
No, look, that's a brilliant age, that one, isn't it? Because it's so kind of engaged in the imaginative world, but also incredibly capable, and really have started to map out the world in ways that that connect between ages as well. It's a brilliant age, that one.
And so where are you doing it within the Arts Centre?
Well, we're going to be working on that beautiful lawn where the waves are.
Yeah.
And I love the waves. My kids loved the waves when they were growing up. I remember I had got a photograph of myself heavily pregnant, leaning on the waves, about to give birth, while my 3-year-old is sliding down them. It's a brilliant place for families.
Were you aware that during the Commonwealth Games, when they were here, they turned that into a beach?
Oh.
They turned that whole area into a whole beach. So all that lawn was sand, and they were encouraging people to come down with their lunch from the offices. And they even got permission from the sculptor to paint them blue.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How
so
fantastic.
They really were waves.
Yeah.
It's such a playful space, and it's just, and the sculpture is so brilliant. And so it's perfect for boats, because we've got these big waves there.
Yeah.
But it's a slopey lawn, so there's going to be heaps of beautiful space to explore. And what we also know is that the paths of exploration will go past that space into urban life as well. So we'll get off the lawn and onto concrete all the time, I imagine.
Yeah. And how many people are part of the company that will be taking these wonderful kids on a journey?
Well, we've got a performance crew of 4.
Okay.
As well as our production team. And They change role quite a lot. All our artists are incredibly skilled people because they have to kind of flip between performance, full-on performance, into sort of management and facilitation sometimes as well.
Are some of them ex-teachers or even teachers, part-time teachers?
In this crew, we've got someone who is a trained teacher, but usually we're not. You know, our artists are our artists first and foremost and performers. But all of them have done work in schools, of course. And I don't know many artists who haven't done teaching artist work. And it's a really fantastic training ground in a way to just get a complete, like a whole class of kids with differing needs is an extraordinary challenge. So for these people, they become crew, they become sharks, they become seagulls. There's a harbour master. There's a whole ritual of entrance and exit. You get your little stamp, and actually, I don't know if we're doing stamps. Might be part of the COVID plan. Yeah, it's a really fun adventure. And then they'll go off to their islands, and sometimes people will exchange story out there, we'll be recording voices, all sorts of things will happen.
And how many times a day do you do it? Is it just once a day or...?
It'll be two rolling sessions that people can come and go to. This is one of the things we love to do at Polyglot is offer a space where people can play for as long as they want.
Oh, okay.
Especially when it's free. Yep. People might come in and just have a five-minute trip around their imaginary world, their ocean. And some might stay all day, come back the next day, come back the day after that.
Right.
So that's a really great way of kind of offering an experience and people not having to kind of do the transactional elements of buying a ticket, turning up, parking the car, going into a building.
Yeah.
This is much freer.
Yeah.
And we love that sense of improvisation.
Yeah.
And so every person who comes through adds to the world.
And what time does it start, the adventure? What time does it start?
Oh, look at me. Erica gave me all these notes and I've put them on my phone and I haven't got my phone ready.
Okay.
I apologise.
That's all right. That's okay. So it starts from the 9th of April and runs through to the 17th of April. And as we said, it is at the Arts Centre Melbourne.
On the main lawn,
On the main lawn there, which is really fantastic. Look,
I've strewn my belongings all over the studio.
You know what?
But luckily there's staff here who are picking them up, pressing them and making them neat again. I'm just getting that up because that is important information.
Well, the easiest way to find out more information about it is to go to the Arts Centre
website, basically.
And all that information will be there. It is called Boats, and it's by Polyglot Theatre.
There's an L in there, Polyglot.
Yes. and don't worry about the time. People will find it on the Arts Centre website. Thank you so much for coming in, Sue, and we'll see you on the lawns at the Arts Centre.
Yes, and I just looked up my notes, and the actual times aren't on there, so please do look at the website.
Right. And I'm assuming that even though in these days of COVID, even though it's free, you need to book in. Would that be right?
I think so. Yeah, and we'll have all those safety mechanisms in place for people as well. Yeah. This has been one of the great, interesting and challenging moments of this whole virus is having to do all those multiple plans.
Okay. Great. So we've been talking to Sue Giles here at Sunday Arts Magazine. She's from the co-CEO of Polyglot Theatre here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.